Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Well, I send you greetings from our students over at Kirkland campus. I want to give two announcements before we get into our message that the Lord has provided for us today. First, wanted to share with you our latest statistics in regards to our ministry over there. Our students have the privilege and also the responsibility to minister to all of the inmates who come into Kirkland each week. Kirkland is kind of a unique place. It's the only institution in the whole state of South Carolina where any inmate, any male inmate who has to do time over 90 days has to first go through Kirkland for what they call receive an evaluation, where they're evaluated, there's a classification process, and they stay in that cell that they're supposed to stay in for at least 23 out of 24 hours of the day. Usually it's three persons in a cell, and they're not allowed to go to any services or programs that are offered at Kirkland, but God has opened a door for our students who are in training to actually do cell-to-cell ministry there. And so we try to, as best we can, track the visitations, how many times they visit down there with those persons just coming into the system, and we try as best as we can to track how many first-time decisions that they've made for Christ. The blessing is every inmate that comes into the prison here in South Carolina hears the gospel over and over and over again. And our amen. And our students have the opportunity to either pray with them, share with them, witness to them, just be with them in this time of crisis for most of them. And so here are the numbers that they've been tracking since January 1st of this year. They've made 13,665 visits as of yesterday. They had 1,001 first-time decisions to accept Christ, and they've had 1,079 decisions to rededicate their lives to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Can we give God praise? God is just doing great things there. The second announcement I wanted to give is that the influence of our program is expanding. Birmingham Theological Seminary and Alabama Department of Corrections heard about our program, and they actually visited with us and even went to one of our graduations. And they had the time to sit down with me personally and with others to talk about our program, and their goal was to learn what they can learn from us so that they can try to bring that back to Alabama and do something similar and similar model as what we're doing. Well, they've been working on that very diligently, and they actually are ready. They've recruited their students and sent out to institutions all around the state of Alabama, and they're ready to start their program that's modeled after ours. Amen. But they also wanted two of our graduates to actually go. It's a two-year program, and they're offering a certificate to the inmates who apply and are accepted into their program. But they also, because it's a seminary, they're offering a master's degree for those inmates as well. But they were asking for two of our graduates to go and help that effort. And so they've inquired of us about some of our graduates who completed our program, and two of our graduates have accepted, and they're going and into a mission field that is unknown to them, removing themselves from their family support and all that they know in South Carolina, and as of Monday, they're transferred over to Alabama. I want to give you their names so we can praise God for them to step out of their comfort zone to go to an unknown arena, a mission field in Alabama. Their names are Mr. Green and Mr. Caraway. Mr. Caraway's name is, they call him Red. Mr. Caraway graduated from my second cohort, and I was just reminded that he was the top of his class in cohort number two. He even gave the valediction speech. Mr. Green just graduated the last cohort, cohort number seven. So I want to bring them to you to just celebrate with me that God is expanding our program and the influence is reaching beyond our borders. But pray for Mr. Green and Mr. Caraway or Red, and I want to just kind of play on those words. So every time you think of Red and Green, pray for them. So when you're driving, when you see Red, stop and pray for Mr. Caraway. When you see Green, go ahead, but pray for Mr. Green. Amen. If you see yellow, slow down so you won't get a ticket. That's not the content. Well, in our message today, I want to, first of all, just welcome all of our new students. I know you've already received that. We are 2 weeks in. And also welcome back our returning students. As I was thinking about what the Lord would have us to say in this moment, he led me to give you a warning. There's a warning and a danger for being here at CIU. And it's not unique to CIU. It's every institution, every biblical institution and university. But I want to give you a warning because it's important that you heed it, otherwise you could fall short. And that warning is found in Mark chapter 3, if you would turn with me there. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. This is something that I share with our students as the director of the program over there at the prison. When they first come and join us as students, I try to share this with each and every one of them. First of all, I try to just kind of help them understand what they've just signed up for and give them some expectations as a student. They're going for the next 2 years to be trained to be ministers. They're going to grow in their knowledge of the Lord. They're going to grow in their ministry experience. They're going to grow in their heart, hopefully, as they do what we're doing today, come to chapel, spiritual formation. So it's a lot of growing in that two-year span, and it's 2 years of a concentrated dose of growth. And so I try to encourage them. This is what we're just going into. But there's another warning here that's very dire that we need to heed to. And it's found in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach." I want to entitle this, "An Appointment to Be with Jesus." In this text, Jesus is not too long before started his public ministry. And his public ministry was announced and he was tempted by Satan, he began to minister in Galilee, and his fame and notoriety began to spread. He began to heal all manner of diseases and cast out demons. And he pulls away from the bustling of the ministry and of the crowd, finds a mountain, and he escapes the crowd, but calls certain individuals, his disciples, to be with him. Now, there are many disciples at this point. They're following him. He'd already called Andrew and Simon and James and John. He had called Matthew. And so he has a lot of disciples. Some people, when I ask how many disciples does Jesus have, and they say only 12, that's not true. There at one point he had 70 disciples he was sending out by two. He had many disciples. But this is a key point in his ministry where he appoints 12 to be apostles. But notice this appointment. It says here in this verse, verse 14, that he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Let's slow down for a minute and look at this verse because it's so important. The warning I tried to give to our students over there, and I'm sure you've experienced by now, second week in, that, especially if you're new or even returning, what you're gaining is a whole lot of truth. Every class period, every chapel, every time you sit in a class or just read a book or read your Bible, you're gaining a whole lot of truth. And oftentimes it can be frustrating because you're trying to absorb everything you get, but it's like drinking from a fire hose. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I mean, you're just so excited about what you're gaining from your professors, and it's good stuff, stuff that you know the Lord is using to speak and minister to you, to grow in depth, and really to grab your mind and expand your understanding of who He is, but it's drinking from a fire hose. And you can get frustrated because you're trying to get everything in, but it's just too much. It's just too much. And some may get a little disturbed by that because they want to take the time to process. They want to take the time to unpack it. And I'm sorry, but your professor will not give you that time. They have all this semester to pour into you all the things that they want you to know. And then if you've taken more than one class, that's compounded. And you're getting all this information, all this good stuff, but it's so much. Can I give you a tip? Don't try to drink it all. You can't. What you can do is put out some buckets. Just absorb what you can, drink what you can, digest what you can. You know, of course, there's every lecture, every assignment comes with an exam, so you gotta regurgitate that back out. But get what you can, but take the rest. Be a good organizer by taking all of the stuff that you're learning. Take good notes, file it away, so that somewhere down the road you can review back after it's not so busy for you. But that's what's happening. But the danger is this. This verse tells us something very important. Jesus calls the 12. And He appoints them for two reasons. He appoints them first. Notice the order and notice the sequence. He appoints them first so that they would be with Him. And then that conjunction there gives us two reasons, two purposes. And then to send them out that they would preach. That's so important. You've come here to grow. You've come here to be sent out to God, for God to use you, to get the tools, to prepare for the ministry that God has assigned for you. But don't mistake why you're here. You're here first and foremost to be with Him. You're here first and foremost to spend time with Him and in Him. And don't substitute one for the other. Because it's so easy, and I think I'm a lifetime student. I'm working on my doctorate right now. And this is not unique to CIU. I experienced it when I was in Atlanta, my undergrad, and when I came here for my master's, and even now as a pastor and as a director and as a student, it's so easy that you're surrounded by all of these godly truths, godly things, the Word of God, the study of God, the message of God. It's so easy that you can be so wrapped up and get all this in, but you substitute what you're gaining for your time with God. In the busyness of being a student, with all the things that you got going on and extracurricular activities, you're going to have to watch this very carefully. Because it's so easy to, instead of using the Bible as the Word of God for you, you use it as a textbook. You use it as a means by which to get your assignment done. You use it as answering the questions on an assignment or a quiz to give back to your professors, but you miss the opportunity to take the Word and allow the Word to just wash over you and speak to you about you. It's very easy, especially in a setting like this. We can substitute what we do for God with our time with God. And we think that will suffice. It really is the Martha and Mary syndrome. in Luke chapter 10. You remember when Jesus and his disciples spent time in Martha and Mary's house, and they showed up and Martha got busy, as it was custom for her to do, to serve Jesus and those who were with him. And she was so busy in the kitchen working, serving the Lord, that she got frustrated. The big piece of her frustration was not only was she busy, but her sister was not helping her. Where was her sister? She was spending time at Jesus' feet. And she eventually erupted and just really burst in on the scene with Jesus and basically commanded Jesus to tell Mary to come and help her in the kitchen. But Jesus had to calm her down, called her name twice, which was an indicator that she was really overwhelmed, and said, "You're worried and troubled over many things." And he said that Mary has chosen the good part that won't be taken away from her. Where Martha was busy working for the Lord, Mary took opportunity to spend time with the Lord. And I just want to challenge us all as students, don't substitute what you do for him with your time with him. Don't think that it will suffice that I'm busy in the Lord's things and even ministry. And let me tell you, as a pastor, it's so easy to pour out every week. And if I am not drinking myself and keep pouring out, I become dry. And eventually the people will start drinking from a stagnant pool. I want to encourage us, even as the beginning of this semester, just after you got over your syllabus shock. How many have syllabus shock? Anybody? That's when you get the syllabus and you begin to see all the things that your professor is asking for you to do, and you're like, "Oh Lord, I don't know if I can do all this." But then you kind of get over that and say, "Okay, here we go. We got to get it done." But in the business of trying to get all your assignments done, make sure, guard your time with the Lord, because God has not designed you to come to CIU or to do anything outside of walking closely with him. Walking closely with him. Some symptoms would be that you're overwhelmed. You're frustrated. Your temper has gotten short. You're more concerned about what people are and are not doing, like Martha, than spending time with Jesus himself. You begin to notice that you're operating more in the flesh. We don't want to admit it, but we do. Because Galatians 5 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You begin to become more weakened and more vulnerable when you're not getting refreshed in the Word for yourself on a regular basis. It really is like Jesus said in John 15:5, that he's the source, he's the vine, and we're the branches. I do recall when I was young, when my parents would tell me to go and out in the backyard, don't tell nobody about this, go get one of those fresh switches, because I was in trouble and they wanted to discipline me. The reason why they wanted a fresh switch, because when it's just connected to the vine, it's bendable and pliable. I mean, it's moist. You can't really break a branch that's still connected to the vine or just recently been removed. But the longer it's been detached, the more brittle it becomes. And the more hard it becomes. And how much more easily it can be broken. The longer you stay away from the vine, the more easily you'll be broken and vulnerable. And the enemy can take you down. That's a danger right here, even amongst all this. How can I, all this water here, I can still drown. I'm not drowned, but I can still be dried up and thirsty because I'm not drinking from that very source for myself. This is a vitally important piece. Another indication would be that you'll notice that you've lost your first love. Your joy has been diminished. You don't have much peace. So I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Where patience, you don't have much patience. You're always rushing and everything is an emergency, everything is a fire that you got to put out. That's an indicator that you've disconnected from the source and you're not allowing the Word of God and the time with God to really refresh you. This is not just for students, but this is for everyone. Your professors can tell you how easy it is for them as they're pouring out into you, if they're not spending time with the Lord on a regular basis, how they can dry up. How it seems like you're more, even though we're here, it seems like I'm so far from God. I see this over at the prison all the time where students, they're excited at first and yeah, I'm ready and excited about this new opportunity, this new platform to grow and learn. And then over the semester, I begin to watch them and I begin to talk with them and they begin to share with me, you know, I'm getting tired and I'm just getting overwhelmed. And sometimes they lose sight of why they came to begin with. And they feel like they're distant from the Lord. The very things they're studying about, they lose sight of. It only takes a moment. Only one look or glance away from Jesus while you're already been called out of the boat to walk with him. Only one little look away, and moments after that, you'll begin to sink. I just want to challenge us. It's a very real warning. And maybe even today, some of you feel kind of stressed out and overwhelmed. Hear this verse. He appointed us first and foremost to be with him. That's priority number one. Number two would be after we spend time with him, then we take what we learn of him as he taught his disciples, and then he sends them out and sends us out and go and minister to others. One of the things that I prayed for over and over again was, Lord, give me balance. And that's still my prayer. But if you're praying for balance and you're missing this key component of spending time with the Lord, you will never have balance. You will never have balance. But if you feel this way right now, let me just encourage you, stop. Stop the running. Stop the ripping. And find time to spend with God. Refresh yourself in him, in his presence. Don't think that you can just get it once a week or just when chapel comes and you've gotten your feel. You need to do this on a daily basis. Let me encourage you to make sure that you keep a Sabbath. That's the day where you put everything else aside so that you can spend time with the Lord to be refreshed. It's not something that, you know, we can look at it as an external thing. This is what they're telling us to do. But I found out that this is the most important thing for me. As a pastor, my Sabbath is not on Sunday. That's when I'm pouring out to my congregation. But my Sabbath is on Monday. And I've got clearance from everybody. Look, I'm staying low on Monday. I need to spend some time with the Lord. It's my most vulnerable time. It's my time where I need to get rest. But it's that Sabbath for me. It's that place where I can be refreshed, where I can start a new week. God worked on for 6 days and he rests on the seventh. And that's what I've learned how to do to make me continue to be healthy. I close with this. Anybody been on a plane? Everybody been on a plane? When you're on a plane, the flight attendants would go through their spiel prior to taking off, and they're standing out, or there's a video, and they're showing you how to buckle your seatbelt. But then they say something like this: if the cabin loses pressure, there's something will drop down out of that compartment. And it's a mess, and they tell you to put it on, and they even warn you that don't worry about the bag, it may not inflate, but it's still oxygen coming through there. But what they tell you is, and make sure if you have someone that you're taking care of on the flight, make sure that you put on that oxygen mask first before you try to put it on someone else or your child. Why? Because in the midst of losing cabin pressure, you can lose consciousness, and both you and the person that you're trying to take care of will perish. I'm just making my point. Before you can go out and tell anybody anything, make sure you get the oxygen and the living water and the breath of life in you so that you can effectively go out and be sent out to minister to others. Just want to encourage us today. Stay with the Lord. It's an appointment with Jesus here. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much, oh God, for reminding us, and maybe we've heard this before, but sometimes it's very hard to do, especially when we're met with just an onslaught of objectives and goals and assignments. When we're busy, Lord, I find the first thing that we eject is that time with you. Father, may we guard it with our lives. Father, if we're anxious, your word says be anxious for nothing, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto you. And that peace that we so long in need, that we can't even understand, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, teach us and walk with us in the busyness of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.